Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:25 Irish Summer Time. Today is July 10th. It's been a rock and roll day today, where we saw some follow-through in Europe from that weak close yesterday on Wall Street, with the FTSE down over 2%, the DAX down just over 1%. And what we continue to see is those markets that are at the lower side of their ranges continue to hold there. That's true of markets such as the Hang Seng in Asia, or the DAX and the FTSE in Europe, or the S&P in the US. They're relatively steady at the lower side of their ranges and haven't broken down from those January and March lows. Markets such as the Dow Jones or the MIB in Italy, a number of other European markets were a bit steadier in here today. The Dow Jones was up 0.75%. It's been relatively steady over the last week, but they still remain under pressure and within short-term downtrends that are beginning to look somewhat overextended. The, I suppose, metaphor that David has been using over the last couple of weeks is that markets are like a seesaw. Of course, that's a simile, not a metaphor. But what we're seeing is that when oil moves upwards, stock markets come under increasing pressure, and oil was up in excess of $5 today, $5.60, as I'm viewing it right now. So that's rather a large move in oil, and it pushes it back up above the $140 mark. It's an upward dynamic, it's emphatic, and the three levels that we've spoken of, which were 135, which would have been an MDL, 130, which would have been a lower low, and 120, which would have been a break of the uptrend, none of those have been taken out. And with oil back above $140, that continues to put pressure on stock markets. The well, Wall Street was boosted today by mergers news, but that's relatively going. I think that's going to be relatively short-lived. The industrial metals were really quite strong today, and Alcoa had its best day in rather a long time, rallying from the lower side of its range. And aluminium roared back in here today. It broke upwards earlier on in the week, then pulled back the day afterwards in a rather emphatic downward break. Then it pushed right back up again today. It's at the upper side of its range, it's in the region of its all-time highs, and this has been a consolidation that has lasted 2 years. If we see aluminium pushing on the upside once more, of course, aluminium is very much tied to the energy complex. But that should also be a bonus for aluminium producers, Alcoa being one of them, of course, Rio Tinto being the other big aluminium producer that is easy to invest in. So that should be a relative positive for those shares. Industrial miners have been under pressure over the last few weeks, and the commodity complex generally, it's a very similar story. What we've seen certainly is a certain degree of contagion selling, because you have stock markets becoming increasingly weak, bank shares continuing to push on the downside, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac really putting the cat among the pigeons in terms of sentiment. And that type of pressure forces people to close positions because the psychological stress is extremely high, and also because they just want to get out of these things. But when you close a losing position, you have a big hole in your portfolio, and often what happens is that investors will attempt to cancel out the loss by closing a winning position, and certainly the industrial miners and resources shares generally have come under that kind of pressure in the last couple of weeks. So that does indicate that there is nothing that's going to be immune from the Wall Street leash effect, and if oil continues to push on the upside, that is going to have a negative effect on stock markets generally. What we've seen over the last few days is that a number of markets have steadied. The Shanghai index was back above 3,000 yesterday. It was up again in here today, and that's relatively positive. What we've seen in China is that the downtrend has lost momentum over the last few months, and while the recovery is probably going to be reasonably lengthy, given the size of the reaction and the speed with which it has occurred, the chances are is that we are in the region of the lows for China, and that the greatest risks are to the upside. India has also been rocked over the last few months, but has found support in the last couple of days. This is certainly not game, set, and match, but it has found support, and at least in the short term, it would need to take out the most recent lows to reassert its downtrend. And if it does that, the banks are most likely to lead, as they have led throughout the downward move in India from the January highs. Looking at the industrial metals, you have aluminium pushing on the upside. Lead had its best day today than it had that the best day it's had in a number of years. It's broken that downtrend over the last 3 months. It's a rather large upward dynamic, and particularly on the weekly chart, it stands out, and you'll see that in comment of the day today. So interest returning to the industrial metals, they've certainly been unloved. You also had zinc up 125 in here today. It's almost back up to that 2000 level, briefly went above it in here today. That's also showing us that there is interest starting to return to some of those most unloved of the industrial metals. Precious metals were also quite strong in here today. Gold was up $18, and I think that that is rallying in line with the oil price. Gold is right up towards $950 in here right now. That has been an area of resistance over the last 4 months. If it can succeed in pushing back above that level, well, then it puts it within striking distance of its highs. Oil is certainly helping to stoke interest in the precious metals. This has been a comparatively short consolidation to date. If we see oil surging on the upside, that is certainly going to stoke inflationary fears. It's also going to help the precious metals, and it could make the consolidation that we've seen over the last 4 months one of the more short ones than we've seen over the last 5 years. Generally, what gold has done is that it has rallied extremely well on the upside, but then moves into these long consolidations where interest is detracted from the sector generally before it breaks upwards once more and then rallies very significantly. We've had one of those big rallies. It ended in mid-March, and now gold is in this consolidation. If oil pushes up and goes on to make significant new highs, going up towards $150 and above it, well, then there's a very good chance that gold is going to push back up towards $1,000 and break upwards to new high ground. But it will be an oil leash at that point. That's my intuition, at least. In the meantime, we have to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. What we can say quite well is that the risks are on the upside for precious metals. $850 has been tested on a number of occasions over the last 3 months. It hasn't failed there, and $850 now looks like a new floor for the gold price. It's best bought following corrections, but certainly this is very good action in here today. And unless we see a downward dynamic, $950 is unlikely to give it very much pause, given the technical action that we've seen over the last couple of days. The same can be said for platinum, and silver has been a bit of a laggard in here today, but I'm just pulling that chart up now just so that I can talk about levels. But it is reasonably close to the highs that it's posted over the last 3 months. $19 really is the key level for silver to break upwards from, and then again, that puts that very close to its highs. And I think that is also dependent on where oil is going to move. The treasury markets have rallied reasonably well over the last, well, they've rallied really very well over the last month or so. They're back up towards 118. It's at 117.09 in here today. And 118 has been an area of resistance since the middle of April. So it's questionable as to how far further we're going to see treasuries rallying. The accelerated peak of bearishness in stock markets back in January resulted in a euphoric peak in treasuries above 100, well, almost at 123. It's extremely unlikely we're going to see that taken out, and there is a shorting opportunity in treasuries on that first downward dynamic because they are coming back into an area of potential resistance. But that first downward dynamic is probably going to be the signal to wait for, because all depending on what happens with stock markets, the treasury markets have been a hedge against weakness in stock markets, and that's unlikely to change until we see an upward dynamic. With Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they are being priced at the moment as if they were going out of business. And the fact is that the Treasury and the Fed intervened and supported Bear Stearns, which is a comparative minnow compared to the size and reach and influence of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So while people are now doubting the government guarantee of their bonds, and of course the way they were being priced yesterday is very indicative of the fact that they are being that guarantee is very much being doubted. But the fact remains that they simply can't be allowed to go out of business. And if they are, then there will have to be another agency created to manage the vast book of mortgage bonds and the issuing of mortgages to vast numbers of American citizens. One way or the other, this is going to necessitate a massive injection of liquidity. And whenever that happens, that does have the potential to be a catalyst for at least a technical rally in stock markets. We've been looking for a catalyst to occur. The oil price remains within a consistent uptrend. It has weakened. It weakened over the last 10 days, but this is a fantastic upward dynamic. It's close to $6 up on the day today. It's at 142 even as I speak, so still moving. So the possibility that oil is the catalyst is still there, but it remains in a consistent uptrend and it needs to take out those levels that we've spoken of on a number of occasions over the last few weeks to really indicate that this oil surge is over, or at least entering a medium-term correction. Of course, oil is in a secular, we believe that oil is in a secular bull market, and over the long term, we're remarkably bullish of oil. However, it is certainly having an impact on stock markets and global economies right now. I was at a black tie ball last week, and I was talking with a hollier who was sitting at the table with me, and he was saying that his business is under pressure right now. If oil gets up towards $150, they're going to be under severe pressure. But if oil were to go to $200, they would be out of business and there would be no trucks on the road simply because they just could not afford them. And he would be selling his business, he said, at $200 for oil, but of course there'd be nobody there to buy it. That brought home to me just how serious the price of oil is and the impact that it could have on global economies. That is also why gold has been so strong over the last couple of days and why it is reacting so well in this type of environment. Of course, the Fed is extremely unlikely to be raising interest rates at this juncture, and that is also a positive for the gold price, which is, of course, a non-yielding asset. So that takes us to what currencies are doing. And what we've seen is that apart from a brief comment today, the Fed has been relatively quiet. They seem to be more focused on inflation right now. However, if the housing market continues to deteriorate, inflation may not be their worry. But what we're seeing with the dollar is that it remains within this ranging phase, which continues to have a marginally higher progression of rising lows, and it needs to take those out for the dollar to go back and test its lows against and the dollar index. It's at 72.5 right now. It needs to move below 72 to break that progression of higher lows. The dollar has been quite firm around these, around, well, firm is the wrong word, steady in the last 3 months. It's certainly halted its decline, and that is certainly not by accident. The potential for a dollar rout, I think, has been averted, and the Treasury and the Fed will do what is necessary, I think, to avert such an occasion. But they are almost certainly going to have to inject a large amount of liquidity into the markets to rescue Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and that is probably going to lead to some dollar weakness. So the dollar is a congenitally weak currency. It has been relatively steady recently, but the recovery potential, I think, is quite muted in the current environment. And with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time and have a great evening.